This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, how do you fight City Hall when you get cited for an illegal structure on your property? We have expert help. Plus, a nurse is arrested after the proof of his dastardly deeds was found in bottles on his mantle. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Oh, so do you love it or do you hate it? The ice bucket challenge. But more importantly, are you justified in how you feel?
Revved up and ready to go, it's Jay Capadonia.
When you pull up to that fancy restaurant, toss your keys to the valet, ever wonder where they go? I will answer that question in minutes.
And like a snake, he's ready to strike. Chris Martin is here.
You want to see Kobe Bryant naked?
No.
No? Well, that's a great headline right there. That's a that's what you call
you
in the business, a tease. That's a tease.
Hey, so we got some breaking news about our broadcast tomorrow, right?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, the first of 3 days of live broadcast from the patio of the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant.
Are we being evicted from the studio?
No, we're just going to go over there for 3 days just to have fun.
Awesome.
And here's the best part of it all. We've just been informed that happy hour, which usually happens in the evening, 3 o'clock or so, they moved it down to noon.
What?
Ooh.
So you show up at noon, and it's happy hour, and you get a good spot right in front of our table there where our microphones are. We'll show up and start doing the show at about 2 o'clock.
It's okay, everybody.
$2 draft beers.
Can we show up at noon?
Yeah, I know,
$2
right?
House wine.
All right.
And what else? Anything else? No, that's it from the bartender?
And I will take a picture with any of you that show up. Don't worry about it, and I won't charge you anything. It's free, so don't worry. I know that you guys were worried about that.
Yeah. If you go to philhewlettandfriends.com, you'll see a tab on the menu at the top. It says live events. Click on that, and all the information you need is there. And if you need an excuse, bring the boss with you, right? Because this is like a businessman, businesswoman's lunch. Bring the boss and tell the boss you know Jay Capadonia.
See? That will get you front row and center.
Yeah, we need to see you. And besides that, even more important, and we'll develop this concept a little more if you didn't know this ahead of time, there's an extra important KFWB reason for you to be here this week, to come by and see us, so that we could put a face to the voice after all these many years, right?
Yeah,
a little sentimental thing. But we'll tell you more about that as the week goes on. Just the same, we have a show to do today. And Jennifer, why don't we start with you? This whole ice bucket challenge thing, is it just a trendy deal to make people feel good, or is it actually doing any good?
I don't know. Some people are calling it slacktivism, you know, where people will click and post online for social causes, and it really doesn't have a lot of impact. One writer put it on Vice, it's basically narcissism masked as altruism. So what do you think? It's supposed to raise awareness and money for ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease, by the way. Did you know that?
Yes, of course.
It's doing that, right? It's working?
Right. Okay, so here are the numbers. It is working. 1.2 million videos on Facebook between June 1st and August 13th. 2.2 million mentions on Twitter since July 29th. And as of Sunday, this is the big number, $13.3 million in donations since July 29th.
Wow.
And that's compared to $1.7 million during the same period last year. The key, though, is 260,000 new donors. So people are giving a little.
I don't understand how that works. You put a bucket of ice on your head and somebody donates money, or do you have to ask them to donate when you do it? How does that work exactly?
No, well, it's you challenge people after you do it, and it's either you have 24 hours to pour the bucket of ice over your head or just give the money. And a lot of people do both. And you know, a lot of celebrities and business execs are joining in, and they're giving big money as well as doing the challenge, just, you know, because it's narcissistic and fun. So, yeah. They're talking about ALS. We're talking about it. So,
did you see Charlie Sheen's video?
No.
I think that tops it all. He's got a bucket, and he's like, I call out this celebrity, that celebrity, and he goes to dump the bucket of ice on his head, and $10,000 in cash falls out. And he goes, that's what I'm donating. That's what I challenge. Stop wasting water.
That's the best.
Oh, stop wasting water.
Yeah, and here's another thing. This is a sad side note to this. A 27-year-old guy, actually, Corey Griffin, who is one of the first guys who helped get the ice bucket challenge off the ground. He died this weekend in a diving accident. Yeah. He didn't even have ALS. Did you hear about this?
No.
He was on Nantucket for an ALS fundraiser. He helped raise $100,000 for his friend, Peter Freites, who suffers from ALS. And at 2 a.m, he dove off a building at Strait Wharf into the water and drowned.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I know. Yeah. But he was one of the main guys that got the thing to go viral. And
well,
got it
they're
going
to have to name something now. They're going to have another fundraiser and name it after him because for what he's done. And now to remember him, that ought to help raise some money as well. So hopefully in his memory, something good will come out of what bad.
Yeah, I think ALS people are working on it because they're really grateful to him.
Now, speaking of water, we pump a whole bunch of that into the earth to kind of fill up these little cracks that we make when we're fracking for oil or whatever, natural gas. And we're getting earthquakes. What the deal?
Right. Remember, we've been talking about this. Well, there's a new federal study that calls them man-made earthquakes and that they're not so bad.
What?
That's what the federal study says.
Frackquakes? Right.
Yeah, they cause less shaking in general. They're about 16 times weaker than natural earthquakes, the same magnitudes, just the way they go. I think we talked about this before, that Oklahoma has had more than 300 magnitude 3 or more, strong enough to feel, since January 1st. But before 2007, they averaged only one quake a year of that size.
Yeah.
So the theories that are around surround this fact that these earthquakes are not as bad. The artificial quakes may have less energy because the fault is lubricated by the injected wastewater, so it slips and slides smoothly. Also, maybe they're slipping with less pent-up
energy. Was there an innuendo in that? What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying.
It just got a little creepy all of a sudden.
We're talking about fracking, right? I just want to make sure I got the right F word going on.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Jay.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay, I was just trying to be one of those government people that's saying, no, it's not so bad.
Can you do a baby girl voice?
No, Phil, come on.
No. I
too far.
No, I'm not going in that. I'm going in a different direction altogether.
Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
Yeah, I promise you this is good. It's not bad like these guys are thinking. But can you do a baby girl voice?
I can.
All right, repeat after me. I love you, frack quakes.
No, I'm not doing that.
These scientists are trying to make these sound like, okay, don't worry about it.
Right, like they're no big deal.
Yeah. Hey, you.
All right. Yeah.
I got you. Let's move along to the next one. And this almost ties into the end of your ice bucket challenge with the guy that died. But this has a romantic twist. And take us to Yosemite. What happened?
Yeah, it's a romantic twist with a death at the end, I guess you could say. This is terrible. So this guy is rock climbing in Yosemite with his girlfriend. He proposes. She says yes. And then he falls to his death.
No.
Yeah, his name's Brad Parker. He's 36 years old. He's an experienced rock climber, but he was climbing along Mathis Crest. They'd just gone up to the summit of Cathedral Peak where he proposed. She said yes. The couple split up. That was the problem. That was a mistake. As he went to climb along Mathis Crest by himself, he fell around 5 o'clock. A bunch of other climbers saw him. This is the second climbing death in Yosemite this year, and like a really what horrible timing.
It is. That's what he gets for having a couple of monsters and snapping into Slim Jims before he proposes to his wife.
Right.
Yeah, I know. He wasn't he didn't have ropes.
I'm glad I skipped over the his and hers carabiners on the Target registry.
Right.
I know, me too.
Because I couldn't live with that guilt if I were the one that bought those.
We're indoorsy people ourselves.
All right. Well, great. Hey, Jay. You know what? If I can't keep my fancy Corvette indoors, I got to take it to the restaurant and hand it over to valet. Then what happens?
Well, if you're in the market for buying a 2015 Chevrolet Corvette. Now, Jen, you're a vet fan, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So here's this new gizmo. It's called Valet Mode. Now, there's a junior version already in the vets, and it's part of the in-dash display computer system. Way too fancy for my budget stuff. But what it does right now is it basically will track where your car goes, okay? And this is the junior version. So you give your car to the valet. It'll lock your trunk. It'll lock your glove box, center console, and all these things. And then it will track on a GPS map where your car goes, how long it's been there, and how fast it's going. The new version will track speed, RPM, along with locking everything down, speed, RPMs, and it has a dash cam and it will record audio and video to make sure that your valet goes directly to wherever they park and then back and doesn't go for a joyride. Because there are stories coming out now that valets here in Los Angeles are taking your fancy ride, picking up a date while you're at dinner, going for a little
jaunt,
moonlight cruise, yeah. If you will.
Uh-huh.
And then bringing your car back to you, unbeknownst to you.
Taking a ride on the hoo-ha highway?
Exactly.
With all these things in the car, though, does the valet have to sign a waiver before he gets in? I mean, seriously, that seems like a little bit of an unexpected thing. Like,
well, the video...
You have the expectation of privacy if you're in a car by yourself, even if it's not your own car, right?
Correct. But if the video does not videotape your face, it videos the driver's point of view. So it's not looking directly at the valet. So you can't, like, post it on social media and be like, oh, this guy wrecked my car. This guy did this. You can't, like, you know, blame anybody or slander anybody, anything like that. But it will show how fast and how well they're, like, or how fast they're taking corners, if they're doing burnouts in the middle of Sunset Boulevard, things like that.
The audio. California is a two-party state. You can't record someone's voice if they don't know about it.
Well, you can't use it. You can record it, but you just can't use it.
Okay.
That's the thing. You see what I'm saying? Like, and that was Donald Sterling's big deal about his audio recording. He's hey, you're using it against me. Yeah, but I can record whatever I want.
I'm getting all lawyery on you.
Yeah, you are.
That's fine.
And I think you have a case because it's not all fair in love and technology.
Right. Bottom line, it's going to cost you $1,700 to add it to your new vet.
Oh,
I
got to
get that on my 4Runner.
Yeah.
I always worry about it. I always tell the valets, hey, you know, treat her carefully. Don't take her on any. Yeah. I check the odometer.
And that Tommy the dog takes it for a spin every now and then. You got to know where he's going. All right. So when we return, it's according to Chris, it's Kobe Bryant naked. And that's next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3 and enjoy food and drink specials, raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio. You'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3, Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. Jay Cambadonia, Chris Martin are here as well. And just a reminder, come join us live tomorrow and Thursday and Friday at the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant. There's a link on our website, philhewlettandfriends.com. Just look for live events. All the information is there. And what you may not have noticed that we mentioned in the last break, last section, we've just been told that happy hour begins at noon. So how much better can this get?
Well, they get to see us.
Yeah. Get to see us. Don't throw stuff. Come on. What's the matter with you? All right. So, Chris, Kobe Bryant naked. That's all you had to say at the top of the show.
That's all it took to grab you, isn't it?
Now what?
Now that's it. Kobe Bryant stands naked in Taiwan.
All right.
As an art
piece.
Does
it.
Oh. He does, yes. What? It's as a statue, you see. An artist made a statue of Kobe Bryant. He is naked. Let me see if I can describe it. It looks like Kobe's going for a layup. He's got his left arm extended. He has the basketball in his hands, in his left hand, but he's struggling because there's a giant black mamba snake coiled around his body. It's wrapped around his arm. It's trying to grab the basketball with its tail. Then it coils around his chest and through his leg and is actually biting his left Achilles with his head, this black mamba
snake.
Wow. Yes, which I imagine is paying homage to the Achilles tear that Kobe suffered in 2013.
Right.
Took him out of the playoffs.
Quite an art piece.
Yes.
But do we have a picture somewhere?
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see if our website minions have done anything about this. I'm looking at the show fun page right next to the live events page at Phil Hewlett and Friends. And lo and behold, Kobe Bryant naked sculpture right there.
The name of the piece appears to be Gaze Upon the Black Mamba. And I'm no art critic.
How are you spelling gaze?
G-A-Z-E.
Just double checking.
Now, wait, where is this?
Might be the modern version of
Taiwan.
Michelangelo's David.
Is there like some sort of like prophet or some sort of saint or something out of that part of the world where because his nickname is the Black Mamba, and if you have association with a snake, it's going to end up biting you at some weird mystical thing or anything like that? Is that what it's trying to portray?
He who makes statue of Kobe could get sued.
That's what's biting.
Yeah, it is.
Well done.
All right. Well, see, since we've got this to Taiwan, I'm going to take you to another country for something that is a bit disturbing, about as disturbing as the story gets. And for this story, we go to Croatia. There's a guy named Slovanski Brod. He's a 52-year-old guy. His nickname is the Penis Collector.
What?
So I guess it wouldn't be shocking to find out that what he does, in fact, is collect penises. He works as a nurse at the city hospital. He gets a lot of access to dead bodies on his job.
Oh, good.
Apparently, from time to time, he'll go in there and just cut the junk right off of a dead guy, take it home, and preserve it in a jar of formaldehyde.
Oh, my God.
Police got a tip about this, about his collection last week. They went to his apartment and they found, quote, a few glass jars packed with genitalia. The guy was arrested and charged with disturbing the deceased. And he could face up to 2 years in jail, but I don't suspect anybody's coming anywhere near him when he's in jail.
What the hell is wrong
with
people?
When he gets there, right?
Yeah.
Did he give any indication as to what he was planning on doing with these?
I don't want to know.
Well, maybe it was something constructive, it Jay. Don't judge this yet.
It's a motif at the apartment.
Okay.
Just a motif. All right. Some people need more of an education these days, and in Cambridge, Jennifer, there's something that I think a lot of people might be interested in learning about. What's that?
That's true. It is the fundamentals of chocolate. This is a job that sounds pretty sweet. Cambridge University is seeking a doctoral student study to study the fundamentals of chocolate. And the goal is to identify ways of keeping chocolate-based food from melting in warm climates. And that's a challenge because even the best stuff starts going soft around 93 degrees. That's below human body temperature. Remember, M&M's got around that by the whole melts in your mouth, not in your hand thing.
Yeah.
Candy-coated. But if you could just have chocolate that didn't melt, that wasn't like that waxy, gross stuff,
yeah,
you'd be a bazillionaire.
Sure.
So the world's top 10 chocolate companies last year posted candy sales more than $85 billion. So they're really, really interested to see if they can find some doctoral student in this job description. They're looking for one student to just set his life or her life towards this goal.
Oh, it's going to be a her.
Well, yeah, right?
But you know what? You as a master chef there at making your cupcakes and your cookies and whatever else it is, you want your chocolate to melt, don't you?
I really do. And I am a skeptic about this because the only way that I, as a simple human person without the big giant brains that they have in the doctoral program,
a mere mortal,
that it is altering what is good about chocolate and turning it into either seized up chocolate, which is like when you heat it and it doesn't temper correctly, yeah, or it's like the waxy, remember those Flicks? It's fake chocolate. It's like Flicks. They came in a tube.
Right.
They don't melt because they're not really chocolate.
No.
So, yeah, you want it to melt.
You do.
But I'm thinking maybe there's some magical thing where they can get real chocolate that isn't like the chemically weird stuff.
It'll take a doctor to figure that out.
Right. Dr. Chocolate.
And the best chocolate on the planet. Maybe they'll find that. And while we're talking about the best, Jay, some countries are better than others when it comes to sex.
That is correct, sir. And to be honest with you, they probably do it the most as well. But anyways, all right, that's neither here nor there. So a study, well, actually a questionnaire sent out by Lolo, a luxury adult toy brand, sent out questionnaires to all of their people who buy and
wait a minute. Can I just say that if you're selling something innocuous that everybody knows exists, like paper clips or rubber bands,
sure,
and you add the word luxury ahead of it and you charge 1,000% markup,
right?
People will probably buy it.
Well,
luxury paper clips, luxury adult toys,
luxury adult toys, sir.
Diamond-studded.
So there's a couple questions. How often do you, how long do you X, Y, and Z, do you A, B, and C, and all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that people on average, globally, have sex 32.5 minutes, and that includes foreplay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. That includes the whole shebang. Now, here's the thing. The countries with the highest amount of sexual satisfaction.
Yes.
England?
No, come on.
Greece and Japan.
No kidding.
There you go.
I'm just going to say it. It's because they're easy to satisfy, you know?
Yeah.
They have low expectations.
Maybe.
I'm perfectly satisfied.
Yes,
maybe. Right?
Cheerio.
Yes.
Cheerio.
Evidently, Chile.
Stiff upper lip.
Chile is at the bottom of the list. Americans, we're like somewhere in the middle. But here's the thing. Oddly enough, in England, they have the highest amount of sex toys sold in England.
Yeah. All right.
So maybe they experiment a little bit. So, you know, it's a little bit. They keep it saucy.
Yeah.
Saucy. How satisfied are you if you have a bunch of those toys?
Ah. Hey, guys, got to run. We're running out of time. The music didn't play, but I know when we need to get out. Imagine you inherited your grandpa's house. There's a shed or a garage in the back, and it's built a long time ago. Guess what? The city might want to come after you for that structure and get it up to code and charge you a fee for all of that. That's next right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. That's the signal that we're back here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. And a lot of show left for you. We're so glad you tuned in. And if you ever miss a single bit of any of our programs, we have them for you on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go take a listen. Tell your friends. Share. Download. Listen. Stream, whatever it is. You could do it all right there. Hey, the city of Los Angeles, and other towns for that matter, will sometimes crack down on illegal structures on properties within their city limits. And if it happens to you, chances are pretty good that you don't know much about the law that surrounds this. And good luck finding a lawyer who knows what to do about this either. So let's get some help on this because it could happen to you. Andy Baker is a real estate attorney with his own practice who loves to help the little guy, and he joins us now. Andy, thank you very much. When it comes to getting fined for an illegal structure, I don't know, maybe there's a garage or a shack in the back or a grandmother's a mother-in-law house that was built in 1920, and it's got some kind of building code violation. What's the number one reason people are cited for these types of things?
Well, hi, Phil, and thanks for having me on. First, the most common violations for single-family residences and for small apartment buildings are either an unpermitted garage conversion or an unpermitted guest house.
All right, so that makes a lot of sense. And I see these garage conversions all the time. People move in and they're putting the they're making it so the garage door doesn't open. They've got a window cut out of the side. So what kind of fine are we talking about when something like that is noticed by the inspector?
Well, it depends on the jurisdiction, but using L.A. as an example, it typically starts around $350, and it goes to $550, then depending on the circumstances, it could be two or three times that. And in the city of L.A., among others, you also have tenant relocation fees. So if a tenant has to move out through no fault of their own, The landlord has to pay the tenant a fee starting at $7,700, going up to over $19,000 per unit.
Wow. So now, okay, we're up around 20 grand with the fees and the relocation and all of that, and you're out the rent because you don't have your tenant anymore.
Right. And if you still don't take care of the problem, you can actually, the owner can go to jail, pay court costs, and then pay even more fines.
But wait a minute. This house, I inherited this house from my grandpa. I should be grandfathered in, right?
Well, grandfathered in doesn't just mean that something's been there a long time. It actually means something's been there a long time, but it was legal when it was first built for whatever it was. Therefore, it would still be legal today.
Oh.
But a lot of times, most of the time, that doesn't work.
Yeah. All right. So people are building things all the time, and they're just not asking for a permit in the meantime. And if nobody notices, they're happy. But this jail thing, going to jail, you don't deal with that part, do you?
Yes, we deal with it from soup to nuts. It's a criminal offense if you don't take care of the problem. And I've defended owners and gotten their sentences reduced or eliminated and their cases closed.
All right. I think I read that the city of L.A. works with tenants and landlords who want to remain in the units that are currently illegal. Is it possible that that's true?
Well, there was an article, I believe it was in Monday's L.A. Times, where they're talking about amnesty, but that's amnesty only for apartment associations, apartment owners, because they're the ones who put forth the effort. It specifically doesn't cover what we call the granny flat units, the garage conversions, or the unpermitted guest houses, because, as the article said, those are dicier.
Yeah. All right. So how do authorities usually find out about these violations? Does somebody snitch on them because the tenant's not happy with the landlord? Does the city fly a drone around town looking for things?
I don't know about the drone, but you would think it would be mostly tenants who are complaining, but we found it's really the neighbors. The neighbors like to complain about extra tenants. It may be the tenants playing his music too loud or too long. But the number one reason they complain is because of the parking. When you take the parking away, typically a garage conversion or the guest house, then the tenant's got to park somewhere. They usually won't park on the driveway because the owner has to get out. That means the tenant's parking on the street, and that's adding to the congestion in the neighborhood.
All right, so how does this work if you get a notice? It says you're about to be fined if you don't fix things, right?
Well, actually, the inspector comes out, you get the notice, so there's no warning. You will be fined. You'll be cited immediately. Typically, you're given 15 to 30 days to comply, which I have to tell you is near impossible unless you're going to tear something down, and nobody wants to do that. But that's why people hire us.
All right. And when they hire you, they can fight it maybe and get out of doing the fees and maybe keep things the way they are?
What we try and do is get the property. We try and get the case closed, which we're very good at doing. We also, depending on what the owner wants, we'll try and get the structure legalized, because nothing is a bigger priority to the cities than getting an occupied structure unoccupied. Because not a year goes by where somebody isn't injured or killed in fires in unpermitted dwelling units. So the cities are totally aggressive on enforcing this. And that's why you see multiple city agencies involved, including up to the city attorney.
All right, gotcha. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that, Andy?
Best way is to go to my website. It's illegallaconversions.com, all one word.
illegallaconversions.com, and we'll put that on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com so people can find it easily in case they forgot what we just said. Sounds good?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There he goes. That's Andy. Well, just imagine that. So we're not necessarily talking about the old grandmother house or mother-in-law house in the back that was built in the 1920s. Right, Chris?
Yeah, it sounds expensive. If you don't, you're better off doing it right the first time if you can.
Get a permit.
Get a permit, go through the city. It's expensive that way, too, but in the long run, this is probably way more expensive.
It could cost you more, especially if you go to jail, if
right.
you don't do the permit thing. Huh? Yeah, and who wants to go to jail over something like that? Huh? Well, No one does. Of course no one does. You could go to jail for doing an inside job when the Brinks truck pulls up, Jay. Isn't that right?
You know, speaking of money and having the money to do it right, maybe this might have happened out of Atlantic City in New Jersey. So $21,000 is missing from a casino, after the armored truck pulled up and they load bags and bags and bags of just cash and coin and all the currency that you can think of. They're loading it into the Brinks truck. Well, evidently somebody threw one of the bags on top of the Brinks truck. And I don't know if it's a Brinks truck. It's just an armored truck.
Yeah.
So they put it on top of it and then drove away.
Uh-oh.
They've got them on security video as seeing the truck driving away with the bag still on top. And then it went and made another pickup at another casino down the road, still has the bag on top. And then all of a sudden, in between the last pickup and the deposit bank, the bag disappears.
Sounds like an honest mistake.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. 21 grand in cash missing.
Wow.
So the FBI is reported to be down there, or up there, I guess, in New Jersey. And they're looking at it. They're checking out the street surveillance cameras. They're looking at building surveillance cameras. They're trying to track down 21 grand. Who is dumb enough to rip off the mob? You know what I mean?
The
Who
mob?
Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
All the mob guys are still running the casinos.
Oh, you're pretty sure they are, huh?
Hey, I got an Italian last name. I know people who know people.
You know,
who know people.
Okay, good.
The whole thing sounds like a good idea on paper. It sounds a little Ocean's 11-ish, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to take one of the bags and I'm going to chuck it right up over the doors and onto the top. We'll pick it up on the next street. Except for there's cameras everywhere now. You know, you're constantly being surveilled.
Everywhere.
Surveilled. I like that word. All right, so when we return now, Chris, you have two bad boys. Both of their names start with J. And you will have that for us. And let's see, what else do we have? We're going to talk about what happens when people think you're dead and you're not. And a feel-good story about a haircut. That's all I can tell you for now. But that's all next. And maybe a little more right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The Friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3 and enjoy food and drink specials, raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio. You'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3, Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2, and we'll be live at 2 tomorrow and Thursday and Friday at the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant. We hope you'll come out and join us in San Pedro, right on the harbor, right there on the water. You can come up and touch us when we're on the air, except don't touch Jay.
Please
don't. He's a little sketchy about that.
Yeah, I don't like anybody touching me.
He gets, you know, that like slap fight reaction that people get sometimes? Yeah. It's a reflex for him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
if
is.
If you want to get slap fought suddenly and unexpectedly, try to touch Jay. All right, so we got a couple of Jays to talk about. And Chris, you have them both. A couple of guys whose names start with Jay. Start with Justin.
Justin Timberlake is the Jay that we're talking about in this one, and he's the latest celebrity to be overwhelmed by criticism on Twitter. And you guys can tell me whether or not you think it's justified. JT sent a tweet to Madonna for her birthday calling her his mother-chucking ninja. What do you think about that?
Was that a quote?
Jen, quote.
Justin Timberlake can do no wrong.
He can't make any mistakes.
Get
right?
out of
nope.
here.
Nope.
Find
sorry.
Innocent. Here, so I'll give it to you.
Ever since he brought sexy back, you're okay with him.
Right. He's a triple threat, man. He can act. He can sing. He's funny. He's good looking.
Four.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
four.
I was going to say.
We're quadruple. Like... quadruple threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you the direct quote. The direct tweet. A happiest of B-days to my mother chucking ninja at Madonna. Hope you have a great one. And then the Twitterverse exploded on him for being ignorant and insensitive.
I'm sure glad that you don't have a speech impediment.
Me too.
All right. Now, who's the other Jay?
Though I'd probably be more successful in radio if I did.
Yeah.
The other Jay is Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah. What did he do these days?
Well, him and the Browns were in Washington last night. They were playing the Redskins, and it was the second game of this preseason, and we'll know he's in a heated battle with the other starting quarterback, Brian Hoyer, for the starting spot. Washington won 24-23, but they must have gotten under Manziel's skin because he was caught on camera throwing the middle finger up to the sideline.
Oh, come on.
Standing on the sideline.
Yeah, I saw that last night. What a jerk.
Shouldn't
what
you
a
know,
complete
right?
jerk.
Shouldn't you know better by now?
It was sort of that, like, while you're jogging away, over the shoulder, backwards, middle finger. He's not really looking at the sideline. He's just flinging it backwards.
That's
at
like
him.
A ninja bird.
Yeah. It's the old ninja bird.
You know, after the game, I did this story last night when I was at work, and he says after the game, he goes, well, you know, I should have been smarter about it. I mean, I am Johnny Manziel, and the cameras are going to be on me 24/7. I know, right? That's exactly the reaction I had, Jen. You're absolutely right. Complete pompous jerk. Get out of the league before you get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and it's going to happen. He's got a big number on his back.
Big target.
He does have a lot of attention. And most people are upset because he wouldn't step up and just throw some complete passes and sort of earn the job from Hoyer. Hoyer threw for 16 yards. He may as well have opened the door for Manziel, you know?
I think Manziel went 7 for 16 for 60 yards last night.
You got it. One touchdown. In
starting to sound a lot like sports talk here.
God forbid. Da-na-na.
Yeah.
Da-na-na. That's the worst.
All right. Hey, Jen, Johnny Manziel, after a few hard hits, might want to just crawl away and die. But,
and disappear.
Yeah, but you have a story that kind of transitions out of this a little
bit. It's easier to die and disappear forever than it is to try to come back.
What?
That's the moral of the story. Okay, so the government wants to recoup benefits paid to the daughters of a man who was declared legally dead and then turned up alive years and years later. So here's what happened. He just disappeared in the 80s. So they got a death ruling in 1994 to allow his family to get Social Security benefits, right? So then Miller, he's 62 now, he resurfaces in August, saying, yeah, you know, I moved away. I was living in some other states. Then he comes back to Ohio. Well, the government noticed, and he has tried since unsuccessfully to undo his death. Even as he stood in court providing evidence, like, here I am, I'm alive, the judge turned down the request to bring him back to life, citing a 3-year limit for changing a death ruling. There is a statute of limitations on that. The judge did acknowledge it was problematic. So now Social Security Administration wants his two daughters to return more than $47,000 to cover benefits they got as teenagers, plus interest.
Wow, right? that is so wrong.
And his ex-wife says, if anyone has to pay it back, it should be him because we didn't do anything wrong. They say that they even contacted the FBI after he disappeared. They hired a private investigator. They honestly thought, this is the ex-wife, we thought he was done, dead, gone out of our lives. Yeah. Apparently, they didn't miss him too much, but they did look for him. And, you know, because you have to go through that due process to get the death death declaration.
He forgot a lot of things, didn't he? He forgot he was the dad of the house. He forgot he had those responsibilities.
He forgot he was alive.
He forgot he was alive. Then he forgot he was dead.
Right.
And then he forgot that his family even cared about him, and he came back, and now everybody's unhappy again.
I guess the silver lining is if he's classified as dead, he never has to pay taxes again.
Now, what was that thing?
Now they know. See, now they know he's alive, so you can't have it both ways.
So you have to die for 3 years? Is that what you said, Jen?
Well, yeah. If 3 years, and then it's really hard to undo it.
Really?
All right, well, I'm taking notes. 3 years, no taxes.
Want to get away? Right.
Okay.
Where's the best place to hide? Texas?
Alaska?
Alaska? No, they caught they caught that guy from 29 Palms.
That's
in Alaska.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. Well, hey, here's something to cheer you up a little bit after that cheery story. Last year, We saw the blueprint for a world with complete pumpkin spice penetration across all foods and beverages. All right. See where I'm going with this? And we expected more new pumpkin spice products for this fall. And right on cue, here's the first one. Looks like the newest limited edition Oreo flavor is pumpkin spice Oreos.
Oh.
It's pumpkin spice cream between two vanilla Oreo wafers.
I think that's going to be way better than the candy corn version of Oreos. That was gross.
Was it gross? Was it waxy too?
Wait, you don't like candy corns anyway, right?
No, I love candy corns. I don't like Peeps.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Now, how about this, though?
I do like the orange circus peanuts.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Those are gross.
Those are my father-in-law's favorites.
They're disgusting, but they're delicious.
When he was alive, he used to love those. And Halloween, he would just none of the kids wanted them. He would just hoard them. Here, give them to Grandpa.
Terrible.
There's also a rumor. What do you think of this, Jen? That there will be caramel apple Oreos this fall.
Yeah, apple.
I don't know how that works.
Just keep the pumpkin is okay because it's not really like fruity, but keep the fruit out of my cookies.
So you mentioned the candy corn Oreos. They also, I don't remember this. They had gingerbread Oreos. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember those.
Were they any
good? They weren't so good.
No. All right.
Says the baker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? There's something really wonderful about those snack foods that come in the wrapper.
Yeah.
Even if you could bake something way better.
Mm-hmm.
Oreos are good, man.
Yeah.
They are good.
Oh, by the way, just a little tidbit, a little techie tidbit. You know how there's megabytes and gigabytes and all that kind of stuff, terabytes?
Mm-hmm.
The original Super Mario Brothers game, all of the code, all of the data, 40 kilobytes. To put that in perspective, that's about 40, make that 87 times smaller than the average MP3.
Wow.
The entire original Super Mario Brothers. How about that, huh?
I played pretty hours nerdy of that.
Yeah.
Hours. I mean, I sat and I probably lost so many brain cells playing Super Mario Brothers.
But just think of how rudimentary the graphics were.
80 KB, did you say?
Not even.
That's 40? Like smaller than even a picture.
40 KB.
40?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's if you compress something down for like an internet post, just like a little thumbnail, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right, Jay, take us out of here with something to make us feel good, will you?
I will. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Mark Bustos. He is a New York City stylist at a very bougie salon out there
bougie
on the West Side. Yes. One of those where, oh, my God, I'm going to go see Mark Bustos. Are you going to see Mark Bustos? No, I go to Supercuts. Well, then you are nothing. Mark Bustos, his only day off is Sunday.
Yeah.
And what he does is he goes around the city and he carries a box of his tools, scissors, razors, whatever, gels, shampoos, and he gives free haircuts to the homeless.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah, and he's just walking around and he just says, hey, man, you want to get cleaned up? He will give them a shave. He will give them a style. There's tons of pictures on his Instagram of these guys, and he just does it right there on the sidewalk. He doesn't bring them into the bougie salon. He does it right there on the sidewalk. So you women drinking your wine, you have nothing to worry about.
Now, is there anybody else who feels like he might be doing a disservice to the homeless people because now it will be more difficult for them to panhandle if they look cleaner?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But it's an interesting thought.
It is. I think the self-esteem going up helps them, and perhaps they could get themselves out of whatever it is they're stuck in, and they might get some work.
That's exactly why he says he does it. Phil,
nice.
I love that.
He says, hopefully, maybe they've got a clean cut. Maybe they'll go pick up a help wanted sign somewhere and try to get out of this rut that they are in. He understands that a lot of the homeless in New York and around the country are mentally disabled. And he says, I wish I could do something to help them. But if I can put a smile on their face, I've done my job.
Yeah. These hairdos, though, are they bougie?
They are. They're very in style right now. And, you know, they're. Yeah.
Does he try to upsell them on the pomade?
No, stop it.
Yeah, right. If you had more product in your hair.
Right?
Yeah, so good for you, Mr. Mark Bustos. I know these jerks around here are trying to cut you down, but I'm for you, buddy.
Homeless people do have the best hair for some reason, too. They have big, lush manes, all of them.
Hey, plan to meet us tomorrow live. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com, click on live events, find out all about it, and RSVP on our Facebook page because we love to see you. We're going to be live. Happy hour starting at noon, and we'll be live at 2. Thanks to Mike Stark, our executive producer, to our assistant in training, Nikki Lucius.
For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Talk to you next time on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The Friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3 and enjoy food and drink specials, raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio. You'll be our live audience. That's tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3, Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.